I picked up next month's Table Talk, which I encourage you to read, and flipped open to a page with a quote that says, "The Word of God can be in the mind without being in the heart, but it cannot be in the heart without first being in the mind." Something to think about. We're returning today to the 11th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. I didn't get these out in time, but if you would like to put bookmarks, we'll also be looking a little bit at John 6. It's John 6 and Revelation 19. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us each day our daily bread. R.C. Sproul tells this story. After the Korean War had ended, South Korea was left with a large number of children who had been orphaned by the war. Relief agencies came in to deal with all the problems that arose in connection with having so many orphaned children. One of the people involved in this relief effort told me about a problem they encountered with children who were in the orphanages. Even though the children had three meals a day provided for them, they were restless and anxious at night and had difficulty sleeping. As they talked to the children, they soon discovered that the children had great anxiety about whether or not they would have food the next day. To help resolve this problem, the relief workers in one particular orphanage decided that each night, when the children were put to bed, they would have a small loaf of bread placed in their hands. The bread wasn't intended to be eaten. It was simply intended to be held by the children as they went to sleep. It was a security blanket for them, reminding them that there would be provision for their daily needs. Sure enough, the bread calmed the children's anxieties and helped them sleep. Likewise, we take comfort knowing that our physical needs are met, that we have food, bread for our needs. So the five petitions in Luke's recording of the Lord's Prayer: "Hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come, give us each day our daily bread, forgive us our sins, and lead us not into temptation." Today we'll be looking at verse 3, give us each day our daily bread. When I think of bread, one of the first things I think of is the aroma of bread being baked. Walking into a bakery or into someone's kitchen, and that smell. I mean, there's just hardly anything like it. No matter what kind of bread it is, there's just hardly anything like that. And when I think of how much I enjoy that, and how much anticipation it gives me for what I'm about to receive, I cannot imagine the joy of being in anticipation of the heavenly banquet to come. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, turn to Luke chapter 11. I've been encouraging you to read Matthew Henry's method of prayer, which can be found online, and I'm going to read his prayer as an opening prayer for this passage. Let us pray. You, O God, who have appointed us to seek first your kingdom and its righteousness, have promised that if we do, other things will be added to us. And therefore, having prayed for the sanctifying of your name, the coming of your kingdom, the doing of your will, we next pray, Father in heaven, give us this day and each day our daily bread. Lord, we do not ask for delicacies, for they are deceptive food. Nor do we pray that we may feast every day, for we would not in our lifetime receive our good things. But we pray for the bread which is necessary to strengthen our hearts. And having all that you give, we may work quietly, eat our own bread. Having food and clothing, grant us to be content with these. and say, we have received full payment and more. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke 11, picking up at verse 1. Again, reading this in context. Now, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation. And he said to them, which of you has a friend who will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will not from within answer, do not bother me. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. I'll tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This is God's word. And today, looking specifically at the petition that Jesus said that we should say, give us each day our daily bread. I want to look at each word. This is a short passage. I want to look at each word there, remembering that Jesus was teaching his disciples to pray, teaching us to pray, but teaching things that came out of the Bible. He was teaching them to pray things they already knew from Scripture. So when he says give, he's looking to God as provider. That's why we're asking God the Father this prayer. They're not sending them down to a store or somewhere else or a neighbor, right? They're saying, pray this. If you remember the story in Genesis 22 when Abraham was about to sacrifice Isaac. And just at the moment when he was about to bring down the knife, he saw a ram caught in the thicket, right? The ram to be given for the sacrifice instead of his son. And he named that place Jehovah Jireh, which means God is our provider. God is our only provider. Give us, and then later it will say our. Notice it doesn't say give me my. It's give us each day our daily bread. This is a communal prayer, even if we're saying it by ourselves. And this would come back to the second great commandment from Leviticus 19. Love your neighbor as yourselves. If you want the good for you, you should want it for your neighbor as well. So we pray for them to receive as we receive. Give us each day. This is extraordinarily interesting. I didn't expect to come upon this. And it actually drove a great part of how this message that we're going to hear this morning. In Matthew, when Jesus was teaching the people on the Mount, the Sermon on the Mount, he said, give us this day our daily bread. So today, Lord, provide for me today. But in Luke, in English, it says each day. In Greek, there's a word epiousion. And again, I'm going to say that with confidence, thinking no one else probably knows how to say it correctly either. But that means kind of today and tomorrow. It kind of means continually. That's why we get each. So we're not just praying today, but we're praying each and on into the future. And that word, that very word, is only found 3 times in all of Greek literature. In Matthew, in Luke, and in a book or a writing called the Didache, which was a teaching of the 12 apostles. This goes back to the giving of the manna during the Exodus. The Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I'm about to rain bread from heaven for you. The people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So they were gathering for the Sabbath. On the sixth day, they were gathering for the seventh. So God was providing both for that day, but also for a time to come. We're going to look at this a little bit more later. Give us this day our daily bread. So there's another use of day in here, right? And daily bread. And I'm reminded of Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, right? It's continual. His mercies never come to an end. They are continual. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Give us each day our daily bread. And the bread represents necessities, both physical and spiritual, or temporal and eternal. So the three things I want to look at, kind of the 3 points of the message here, are: one, who are we asking? I know we know that, but we're going to look at it a little more closely. Number two, what is bread? And number three, what now? What are we to do with this? So the first one, to whom are we praying? Who are we asking this to? And we know that, right? We're praying to our Father in heaven. But as we said last week, and as is good to remember as we consider this prayer, that the way Jesus laid out for us to pray was, first, it's God and his glory. Then it's us and our needs. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come. And then Matthew, thy will be done. It's God's name. Then it's God's reign. Then it's our needs. And this is important. And as I said last week, it's important because God's more important than we are. But it's not just because God's more important. It's so that we remember that every time we enter into prayer, that we're not just talking to someone else. We're not just talking to another person. We're talking to one who can indeed provide. It gives us a focus going into prayer. It should humble us as we go to pray. We're praying to God. We're praying to the one that says, "Don't be anxious about your food. Seek me first." To the one who had Peter write, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you." This is the one to whom we're praying, the one who cares for us, the one who said, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." This is who we pray to. And we're praying this particular time for this gift, knowing that every good and perfect gift, according to James 1, comes from where? Comes from God. Every gift comes from God. Everything that's good comes from God. And kind of a general grace to all the world and a specific grace to his people. So that's to whom we're praying. That's who we're asking for this bread. So what is the bread? The bread, is it a metaphor? Does it mean something else? Well, first, it is bread. Actual bread, actual food, actual necessity. And again, I was amazed this week, searching through the Bible just as an exercise, for all the times it lists the word bread, which I'll just tell you, it's a lot. A whole lot. But do you know when the very first time bread is listed? Part of a curse. It's part of the curse. Having been given everything in bounty, except for one thing, which they chose to take, in response, God said this to Adam: "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. You shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you shall eat bread until you return to the ground. As good as bread may sound, as good as it may be, it's second best, at best, to what God had intended for us. So the bread that we receive comes from work. Work that was much harder than the work that was given them to do in the garden. Work that is much harder than it was without sin. So again, I think of that time when we're going to walk up to that heavenly banquet and whatever those aromas are like and think, man, that bakery was nothing. When that sin is gone, when that's been taken away. So bread means bread. It also means other necessities. Things that we just need, that God, that Jehovah Jireh, that God is the provider. Going back again to where that name is placed, when Abraham named that place as he was about to sacrifice Isaac. And he does get that ram caught by its horns in the thorn bushes. That would be the one to take the place of sacrifice for the man. It was also an image of Christ, right? A sacrifice given by God to take the place of the man. God is our provider. And like I said to the children, this is kind of easy for most of us. I don't think anyone in here goes to bed hungry, but it can be puzzling sometimes for people to look at Christians who pray this and know that there are Christians around the world starving. And again, I don't have all the answers to that, but I do know that at least in part, it's because we're supposed to do something about it. So the bread is bread, it's actual necessities, it's the things we need in life. We ask God, Lord, give us each day, today and every day. But it's also God's word. In Luke 4, Jesus was led out into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. 40 days with nothing to eat. And Satan says, turn these rocks. All you have to do is say, and they'll become bread. What's Jesus' response? That's right, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. We need his word. This day and each day. And we also need to pray for his word. We need to pray to receive his word from his word. Without God's intervention, these are just words in a book. So many people will say, well, this is just another old book. But it's not. It's a living, active word of God. And we need to pray for that as we enter into Scripture. Say, God, give us each day your daily bread. Feed me from your word. Sometimes we might just be sitting in a doctor's office and we might just pick up the Bible and just read something, and that's okay. But when we're seeking out God, when we're seeking his word, we need to pray for him to reveal to us, to feed us from his word. I think his bread is also Jesus. You turn to John's Gospel, chapter 6. Chapter 6 starts off with this feeding of the 5,000. We know the story, right? All these people are hungry. 5,000 men, right? With women and children aside, so there's probably at least twice that. Disciples know that there's no bread. There's no food to give them. A little boy comes up, right, with the five loaves and the two fish, and Jesus does this miraculous thing and provides bread for everybody and fish for everybody. And then Jesus wants some time by himself, so he leaves, and this is where he walks on the water, right? He does that, and then we pick up at verse 22. This is the day after the feeding of the 5,000. John 6, verse 22. On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there, that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum seeking Jesus. Right? This is awesome, we think. Bunch of people wanting to go find Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him the God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." I want to pause right there for a second. This is the work of God, to believe in Jesus. That's the work of God. Everything springs from that. If we don't have Jesus right, we don't get the other stuff right. I read a great quote this week that said, if you make disciples, you'll get a church. But if you start by building a church, you will rarely get disciples. Jesus says that the work of God is what? Believing in him whom he has sent. So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do that we might believe in you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Okay, what sign do you give? They got this miraculous bread from heaven. These people had just seen five loaves and two fish feed 10,000 people. And they're asking, you know, what do you got today? Because really they want something today. Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives his life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." Jesus is bread. He is the bread of life. Bread of heaven come down. Yeah. All those times a couple of years ago when we talked about seeing Jesus and everything in the Old Testament, the manna from heaven, the bread come down from heaven, pointing to Jesus. So the last thing for what now? Let's put this all together. So God's initial design at creation was something better than bread. It was better than coming to church to hear about God. It was better than reading the Word of God. It was the best all-you-can-eat feast imaginable. It was hearing God's Word from God's mouth and walking daily in God's presence. But then we know what happened. We had the fall and from the sin and all that, and we follow on ahead up to Noah and Abraham. We move forward. They're taken into slavery. And then we get the Exodus. And that gives us an image of what I'm talking about here. Israel's taken from slavery, promised a land of milk and honey, right? Which symbolized everything you could want. And I don't know if you remember or not when the spies went in, because this image, I don't know why, but it's always stuck with me. When the spies went in, they came out with the grapes. Do you remember that? The grapes, it took two men to carry one thing, one cluster of grapes on a pole. This is what was waiting for them. But in the time between when they were taken from slavery and they reached the promised land, they were given bread from heaven for the journey. They had God's man to speak to them, and they were given bread from heaven for the journey. Well, disobedience ended up dividing that group, right? So that some entered the promised land, others did not. The ones that did, it was a 40-year wait. But then they got to the promised land. Romans 6:6 says of us, we know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. Beloved, if you have put your faith in Christ Jesus, if you've put all your trust in him, then you have been rescued out of slavery. And we're now on a journey to a promised land. And there's a feast waiting. But for now, during the journey, God is providing from heaven. Bread from heaven he has provided. In his actual provision, in his word, and in his son, the work of the cross. We've been given something for sustenance to take us to the promised land. Give us each day our daily bread. That's a temporary prayer. That's not a prayer we'll pray forever. Because listen to this, Revelation 19. Verse 6, John saw what all God's people will get to see. I heard what seemed to be a voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters, like the sound of mighty peals of thunder crying out, "Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready," his bride being the church. "It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints." And the angel said to me, "Write this. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb." I hope that astounds you the way it astounds me. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Church, again, if you've put your trust in Christ Jesus, that's you and I. We are traveling from slavery, which is behind us, to a promised land, which is ahead of us. And in between, God is providing for us. Lord, give us each day our daily bread. Give us the actual provision we need for our bodies for the journey. But not just that. Lord, give us each day our daily bread. Give us your word to sustain us. But not just that. Lord, give us each day our daily bread. Give us Jesus. Give us Jesus until the day when we feast with him in glory. We see him face to face. Church, there's nothing like this. Lord, give us each day our daily bread. Amen.